Can I ask you guys a question?
No, wait, what the hell? It's Jason's episode.
No, you can ask your question. Go for it.
No, wait. No. Jason, you start us off.
Welcome to Every Fan for Himself. This is Jason Kenny.
Eli Woe.
Jaron Jolly. That sounds like a radio intro where it's like, this is 106.7 EFFH, the fan.
Yeah. Honestly, like I didn't know what I was going for. I was just kind of speaking off
the
cuff there.
It worked. You're really smart.
How's everyone doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
What do we got
good?
Going on?
Pretty good.
We've been best friends for a long time, right?
We've been friends for a while.
Yeah,
of course.
So how come I haven't seen either of you guys naked?
I've literally seen. I've seen you naked.
I know you've seen.
Jaron imposes it upon us.
But why?
Well, I don't know if poses is the word.
Imposes.
Yeah.
What, do you like come seek it out or something?
No, you just, I mean, you're naked, but it's not unwelcome.
Okay, sure. Right. I guess I can't speak for Jason.
Anyway. I'm just, it doesn't feel equal.
Well, no, you made it unequal.
You're right.
You're and just I living want with you, the results of
I want
your
you
own actions.
To come to my level.
Yeah.
Is that fair, guys?
No, yeah, he's right to say that.
To be fair, I don't know that I've actually seen Jaron. He has tried to
I've
show
tried.
And I've averted my gaze.
Yeah, I've tried.
Yeah, well, that's...
It's kind of a thing.
It's because you're a bad friend.
I guess.
You're not a true friend.
Yeah.
When's the last time you guys used a bidet? I was just thinking about that on the way over here.
Honestly, it's been at your house.
Your house, And you got rid of it.
No. I just
got rid of it.
I moved it upstairs.
Oh. Okay, because you didn't want
I
us
wanted,
depriving
I
his
enjoy
guests.
It. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know people
hoarding
were liking
his,
it.
He's hoarding his wealth.
Yeah, he sure is.
If it's requested, I'll bring it back down on the guest
Please.
Bathroom. Okay.
Yeah. Because I actually the last time we were there, I was trying to use it. I was excited, actually.
It rocketed and really, really upset me. I don't think I had it. No. I don't think it was positioned well. I don't think I was positioned well. It was cold and way too hard.
Well, no, I had one.
I was
like,
on a low setting.
Well, I drove like 30 minutes to get to his house, and I was prepared to use it.
Right.
Like, I actually saved it, like, throughout the day.
Right.
I could have gone to the bathroom hours ago.
Right. And you were just ready.
Oh, yeah.
You were looking forward to it. And then it was gone?
And then it was gone.
Dang. Wow. That's awful.
Yeah.
That's like...
That's the kind of thing he does to me.
Yeah.
Like on a regular basis.
Lining up for the show only to find it's canceled.
Yeah. Describing the way that you guys deprived me of your nudity. So kind of tit for tat.
All right. Well, I guess we're even.
Yeah.
Emphasis on tit.
Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're still with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome.
It only gets worse from here. And by worse, I mean better.
Yeah. So, this is a very special day. It's actually Buster Keaton's birthday, so that is actually kind of special.
That's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, cool. October 4th. This is when we're recording this.
Little peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, these have to marinate before we set them loose.
Yeah, we're kind of. Are we? No, never mind. Peek behind the curtain was the best thing to say.
Okay.
Yeah. It's officially October. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge for me. And you know, as October is, we wanted to do a spooky kind of episode or something kind of thematic, something to go along with the season.
Yeah.
And I personally watch a scary movie. Okay. More than just once a day. I usually average about twice a day in October.
Yeah. I was gonna say in October, you're pumping.
You're probably
up
what? Like
numbers.
1.7 a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about 1.72. Two movies a day.
Wow.
I thought it was 1.7253.
Right now, though, I mean, as of the 4th, I've only watched 4 movies, so one a night. So I've got a couple of days where I'm going to have to bust out 3 if I want to keep this going.
See, I find every fall, there's things I got to do and things I want to do, and then it's like October 20th and I haven't done any of it. But
always,
I'm getting ahead of
always.
It this year.
Yeah.
My wife and I watched Over the Garden Wall in its entirety on October 1st.
Already?
Yeah.
Wow, good for you guys. I'm going to ask later, but I'm really proud of you for doing that.
Yeah.
And
it's
I
her
feel
first
the same
time,
way,
too.
Though. I feel the same because I feel like every October I have a million things I want to do. I want to do corn mazes. I want to go to pumpkin patches. I want to eat and drink so many different things. And you know, you can't do everything.
I'm going to confide in you guys.
Yeah.
And all of our listeners. I don't like corn mazes one bit.
Hate that. Hate that about you.
Do you mean like haunted or just any?
A haunted corn maze I can tolerate.
Haunted is better than standard.
Haunted is better than standard. Standard's just, I'm just walking and it's lame and it takes too long.
Damn. Oh man.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it sucks.
I don't like them.
Nice cup of cocoa in my hand, just walking with some friends.
Yeah, that's the thing. Oh, sure. If I got cocoa,
feels nice.
It's better. It's just, but it's I'd also rather sit with cocoa.
But it's like a leisurely, you know, it feels like you're like a farmhand and you're getting lost.
No, it doesn't feel like that. Yeah, it doesn't like that.
Yes, it does.
Dude, throwing corn at little kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Pelting children with really tough ears of corn.
Yeah, so I either have to pretend I'm a farmer or commit child abuse.
Yes.
That's fine.
It's part of the season, man.
No, that's high on Jason's list for October things.
I agree. I do agree with you, Jay. It gets away from you so fast. And honestly, I think fall is my favorite time of year. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and
totally.
It sucks that it feels like it's gone in a month. It should last at least like 2.5 months. Yeah. Why does that make you laugh?
Never mind.
Why? Screw you, Jason.
It feels like October's gone in a month. I know you said fall, but
I said fall. Jason's laughing at an imaginary
Jared.
We were talking about like Jaren. October activities at first, and so
fall actually lasts for a while after October, but it does feel like the fun things
October
is build up to Halloween.
Yes.
Yeah.
After Halloween, you've got a horrible waiting period.
You don't want to do fall stuff.
If
November
you're apathetic
1.
About Thanksgiving, you got a long time to wait.
Totally. And you're not interested in going to corn mazes or watching scary movies November 1st.
No.
No.
Come on.
You know what?
No.
I love about Canada, one thing.
Mm.
They have their Canadian Thanksgiving. It's in October. Yes, then they have Halloween. And right after Halloween, Christmas season starts.
Wow.
And I think that's really fun because you get to milk it. You get 2 full months of Christmas stuff. Because here, I feel like it's a little profane to start celebrating Christmas before Thanksgiving.
But
there are things people can do, and it's fine. But I can't really get into the spirit till Thanksgiving's over. And that happens so much earlier in Canada. It's so fun.
Totally.
Yeah. That's cool. Canada.
You stretch it out.
Canada, man.
I love Christmas.
Those guys have a
feeling. Yeah. I love Christmas season.
But we're not talking about Christmas, actually.
No,
so let's,
I guess.
Let's reel this back in.
Sure.
Let's reel this back in.
Excited for a Christmas episode.
No. Yeah. It is spooky season. And we've got a couple in the chamber. For spooky content that you want to hear.
Yeah, we better.
Well, we want to say at least.
Yeah.
But it's like the most wonderful time of the year.
It is.
Yeah. Honestly, we need more Halloween songs to be in like
we
the canon.
Ghostbusters?
Monster Mash.
That's kind of...
Well, okay, then there's like there's less popular ones.
You Zombie have like, by the Cranberries, that works, right?
Yes, and you have... I mean,
Rory Erickson's Night of the Vampire.
Rocky Erickson. But yeah, he has a few. He has like Werewolf. Yeah. He has a bunch. He's a great one.
Season of the Witch.
Yes.
Must be the season of the witch.
If you don't know what that is, now you know. Jason saying it.
Yeah, and see, we're stretching even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
Like a Christmas song is a Christmas song.
I call on all artists. I call on all studios, on all record labels.
Start whipping them up.
Yeah.
People
would get into it.
Get into the lab and start cooking up something evil.
Yeah. I would love to see Monster Mash become obsolete.
Why? I agree.
What's wrong with you guys?
Just because of the volume of stuff being produced, not because I dislike it particularly. It's tired.
Imagine if one of the only Christmas songs we had was Jingle Bells. You'd be like, I'm so over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you mean, but like. Yeah.
No, it's fine. It's fine. But we want
like
more.
Monster Mash.
Yeah. Sure.
Of course.
But
Jay, just it's okay, buddy. Come here.
I would love for it to not even be top 20 because we have that much stuff.
That's what we want to enjoy.
Cool.
Yeah.
That would be pretty sweet.
That's all I mean.
Well, you've got Ryan Gosling's band, Dead Man's Bones.
That's a whole other album. That's a great. Right. That's
dude,
a
my
great.
Man cooked up.
He did.
Some bangers.
He spit it out.
Some bangers and mash.
I want him on the radio. I want him in grocery stores.
Yeah, we want.
Yeah.
I want it to be treated like
no,
Christmas.
You're right, though, because you go into a Spirit Halloween, they're not playing very much.
They're just playing pop stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's true. I do have a spooky playlist, but it's mostly upsetting. it's not really
Like, actually, just it's scary.
Yeah, it's just it's not good to listen to. Like, right. You won't enjoy yourself.
It's just ambient sounds of people screaming.
Close.
Yeah?
Sweet. Close.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, I because of the spooky season, because of the whole thing, I didn't want to call it spooky season.
I'm sorry. I hated that, too.
I'm sorry.
It kind of prickled against my skin. Yeah.
No, it kind of ruined the whole episode, honestly, yeah. that I said that. Anyway, it's Halloween season. It's October. Yeah. So I gave everybody some homework.
You did.
I made it a requirement that everyone watches a scary movie that they had not seen beforehand. And what is special about this is we're all on kind of different tiers here. We're on different levels. See, Eli is kind of a scary movie beginner. Mm-hmm. Jaren is more intermediate.
Yep.
And I've been watching scary movies my entire life.
Yeah.
And I actually want to kind of touch on that a little bit. And so Eli, totally. Do you want to tell us about your scary movie journey here?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So it was like very much a thing for me to watch my first scary movie. Like, I remember being however old I was and saying like, I think I want to watch a scary movie to my parents, and then being like, okay, like we'll find a good one for you to watch to be your first.
Yeah.
And so my first scary movie was Signs, which I feel like is such a good,
great choice.
It's a great first scary movie.
Yes.
And I loved it. And after that, you know, I kind of introduced bit by bit. Sixth Sense was soon after, which is probably like a, I don't know, at least culturally, maybe like a top 10 scary movie ever.
Culturally, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And then since then, it's kind of been a little here, a little there.
Yeah.
I don't crave it there. I've revisited Signs and Sixth Sense a few times.
I feel like since I've known you, and especially since we started doing the podcast, I feel like you've opened up more into scary movies.
Yeah, I've seen more. But it's been, I mean, it's not because I avoid them necessarily, but I don't necessarily seek many out either. Yeah. And so it's just kind of been really pedestrian as I go through. You know, I've seen Get Out, which I loved. I've seen The Others, which I love. I mean, I'm not going to list everyone I've seen, but like
Hitchcock.
You see, like a lot of the classics. I've seen a lot of Hitchcock for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just, I'm casual. I'll take it as it comes. You know, I'll avoid some, or I'll voice my opinion if it seems like, oh no, I don't want to watch that.
Yeah.
You know,
do you have any big, like, no no's? Like, I don't do these kind of scary movies.
You know, I would say, probably, I mean, it used to be like devil stuff.
Yeah.
But even then, like, it's not like a hard avoid for me. It's just, sure, I haven't really participated. Dabble.
He's new to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't really participated. I mean, there are some I would be open to. Like, I know the Conjuring movies are good, and I feel like that's a great entry, like at least into like the devil stuff.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
Possession genre stuff.
Yeah. But I'm not super into gore.
Yeah.
I'm not super into like
perhaps or acquired taste.
Spectacle. Yeah. And
slasher stuff.
Things like that. Yeah. Not necessarily. I think I do really want, it's how I approach other movies too. I really want really good writing and story and dialogue and things, which is why I love Signs and Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
And you know, it's why the things that stick out to me that I remember do. But I'm not, it's not to, you know, kind of talk down on the other styles.
You're ready for whatever.
I see the merits of, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, like, I'd consider myself an intermediate horror movie fan. For me, it was like, my family was like, we don't do horror films at all. I think the scariest movie I saw was like Hitchcock stuff and Signs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even Sixth Sense, I had to like watch it like a sleepover or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, my family was like, we, you know, and it scarred me because any like scary trailer I'd see on TV would really, really mess me up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember The Skeleton Key. It's kind of a whatever horror movie from like 2006.
Right.
Jacked me up. The trailer. Mm-hmm. I was so scared of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't an option. And I was like, even in like middle school and getting into high school, like friends would be like, let's watch a scary movie. I'd be like, for sure. I had a pillow over my head the whole time.
No, I remember like in high school, you just didn't want to watch scary movies ever.
I didn't. Yeah. And then what happened is, becoming like best friends with Jason and then our other friend Tanner, who like horror movies were just a part of their whole childhood and everything. They kind of slowly put me on to different stuff that I used to be so afraid of. And especially me getting more into movies and really becoming like a big film fan, you realize you're like, okay, if I'm going to really be a movie guy, I can't just like cut off a whole genre. It's like people that are like, oh, I love music, but not country. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
You got, you, you
if you can't see the good in it, then if you write it off the whole category.
Right.
Then
yeah.
How reliable is your opinion?
Totally. You have, you don't have that context. And obviously like realizing how, like you're saying, Eli, like how much, incredible script and dialogue and cinematography and just incredible filmmaking, especially getting into practical effects and special effects. Mm-hmm. You're like, wow, this is where like those type of things really shine. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say like whether any other genre does practical effects better than horror, because it's like the bread and butter for horror for years. I mean, we've got a lot of, you know, CGI nowadays, but even now, like people prefer the practical stuff.
Always. Mm-hmm. I think that's true across almost every genre, like that involves that sci-fi.
But like horror heavily relies on practical part of most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%. And so, for me now, it's like I'm open to pretty much any horror movie, and I try to keep up with like new horror movies. You know, I'd say like where, and Jason will get into this, but like, you know, any major or like even popular indie film horror movie, I'll make it a point to see and really appreciate it. Because again, it's like really appreciating the craft is where I'm at now. It's like, whoa, who's directing this? What have they done before? Mm-hmm. What can I expect? And then within horror, really exploring subgenres of like, okay, this is body horror, this is folk horror, you know, this is sci-fi, whatever. There's so much there to explore. That's where it gets really fun, I think. Yeah, so
totally.
That's where I'm at.
Totally. And as I've mentioned already, like I've been watching horror movies forever. As a little kid, I was, you know, obsessed with Goosebumps and Scooby-Doo and whatnot. And I really just wanted to watch horror movies all throughout October. And my dad's like, okay, sure, let's, you know, start with movies like The Birds and Dracula and whatnot. And the very first movie I ever owned was the 1932 The Mummy with Boris Karloff.
Cool. Yeah, baby.
And then I collected all of the Universal Monsters. And then I collected everything else. And so, and I'm still collecting, you know, DVDs and Blu-rays to this day. I just bought Talk to Me because it came out on DVD yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Sick.
I'm actually very excited. There's a steelbook for the new Evil Dead Rise, and it was just announced today, and I might go pick it up tomorrow. Cool. So my wife is hearing this in the past. look on the shelf. It's probably there. Right there.
Dude, Jason has seen like cuts of horror movies that the directors haven't even seen. Like you just, his love goes so beyond any like subgenre, whatever. It's insane.
Yeah. It's like, it's very much a part of like your thing.
Yes.
Like as much as Lord of the Rings is my thing, horror is your thing.
Totally.
Yeah. And exactly. And it has been forever. Mm-hmm. And, so that's why I was really excited about doing this is, because you get three different perspectives or three different types of movies. You know, something that is new to Eli, maybe, you know, something everybody has.
A genre,
you know what
staple.
I mean? Like, or, you know, maybe not. It was totally up to him, and I was excited to see what he would choose.
Yeah.
And same with you, Jaren.
For me,
you've seen a lot.
I have.
And so I was excited to see where you would go off from what you've already seen.
Totally.
Like where you would kind of divert, or maybe you've missed something that is popular.
Totally.
You know, and for me, I've seen probably most things.
Yeah.
And so these days I mostly watch.
You're digging deep.
New stuff. You know, maybe I'll find a B movie that is kind of, you know, or I really enjoy the classics. Like I said, that's where I started.
Right.
And so I watch a lot of old movies. And there's tons of them that I'm still exploring, and it's
that's awesome.
The best.
Mm-hmm. Should we jump into this?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to start with Eli, actually.
Yeah. So like I said, there's things I missed just because I didn't grow up with it, didn't seek it out, you know, for whatever reason, especially the older stuff. If it's not part of your family or friend group, like, you'll just miss it.
Yeah, right? Totally.
So, I mean, I've still never seen Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, mm-hmm. Scream, Halloween, like things that are like the newer wave of horror.
Yeah.
I've missed so much of that, you know, mm-hmm. 80s totally. Horror and things like that. But I have others that I have seen, you know, like I said, I kind of pick and choose. It's sporadic. But for this, because it's kind of like the first, I don't know. I feel like it's, maybe people with more experience could back this up or refute it, but I feel like this movie is kind of the first tone setter for modern horror. Mm. Okay. And that's Psycho.
Oh, okay.
Totally.
Fun. Yeah. It started the slasher movie. It's not the original slasher movie, but it kind of started that craze.
Oh, yeah. It's like the grandfather. Yeah. Of slasher. Yeah. Wait, you hadn't seen Psycho before this?
Right.
And oh my gosh. That's amazing.
It's weird. There are things you just miss. And, yeah. That's crazy. That's the, you know, it's funny how much other Hitchcock I had seen.
Yeah, that's what I'm before. Like. Yeah. Like, Rear Window is in your top 10.
Uh huh.
Which is so fun. So I love that. That's
Rear
great.
Window. Yeah. By the way.
Yeah. Rear Window is
incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah. So Psycho.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to hear
about it, man. Yeah.
Your first experience.
So I mean, like I said, I had seen a few Hitchcock, including some weird ones, but I've seen like North by Northwest. Rear Window, Birds.
Have you seen To Catch a Thief?
No. Mm. Shadow of a Doubt, which
great.
Ooh. A lot of people haven't heard of that.
Awesome.
That was like my favorite Hitchcock for a while.
Yeah.
Really, really like that. Yeah. But I just kept not doing Psycho. And I didn't even know. I knew like, okay, like there's the mom has something to do with it. I don't want to spoil it, honestly. For if you're a beginner listening and you haven't seen it,
if you're in Eli's shoes,
it's ancient, though. You could probably spoil
right,
it.
Right. Still. But even like knowing what I knew, like, okay,
yeah.
There's the classic shower scene.
Yeah.
There's the mom who may or may not be dead.
Yeah.
Right. And there's Norman Bates, which is like the name I had heard around it.
Yeah.
I didn't know the buildup. I didn't know the lead up. I didn't know anything about it. So getting into it, I was like, okay, so we're following this woman like a while before she gets to the Bates Motel.
Yes.
Like we see a whole long exposition of her like, okay, we're here. We meet this kind of cast of characters. We meet these people she's interacted with. You know, there's a scene where, you know, she has to buy a new car and like all this stuff that's happening was super new to me. But what I liked so much about it and something that I think is good for a beginner is that it's super approachable.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It's not scare you in your sleep scary.
No.
And it's not even really jump out at you scary. It's just kind of the vibe. It's the theme. And if you're worried about being scared and it being really scary, like older movies are a great bridge into that because
mm-hmm.
It's not even just that the stuff is more tame, because it is in some cases, but it's especially that everything feels so different. It might be in black and white, or at least if it's color, the picture quality is different.
The sound quality
is different.
Not super high
def. Yeah. Like there are a lot of layers of things that help you be removed from it.
Yeah, totally.
So it's easy to just say like, this is a movie I'm watching. This is something on a screen. Yeah. These are actors. This is something that's being directed. It's you don't get lost in them as much as you do more modern stuff, I would say.
Totally. Yeah. And so that's the cool thing about Psycho. I like what you're saying, where it's like, you know, it doesn't completely unnerve you, but it does get under your skin.
Yeah.
And even more than you would think. I think we watch old movies sort of with just kind of a little asterisk of like, okay, this is cool for the 60s or whatever. Right. But Hitchcock has a way. It doesn't matter when you watch it. You're like, oh, that is really
kind of
upsetting.
Yeah, I think another thing that's sort of upsetting about it is he pulled from real life sources.
Yeah,
where it's inspired by several different serial killers, including like Ed Gein, for example. Yeah. Mm. You know, and so the fact that it is sort of based in reality of people that actually did exist is really interesting, especially for a Hitchcock film.
A character study too. Right. Really getting into Norman is like where you get the
right.
Ugh,
well, factor. And in that era, there are still some performances you see where it's a little hokey, like it's a little this is of the era. This is like transatlantic accent. This is, you know, and there are a few, you know, characters even in Psycho that you could point to with that.
Mm-hmm.
But Norman, his performance is stellar.
Stands the test
of time. It feels very real. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel overdone. It doesn't feel distant or weird. Like he feels like a very real person. Well, his manner and his affect. Like I really, really like him as a villain. And I like how long it strings you along with him.
Yes.
And his mom and like what it could be.
Yeah.
He does such a good job. Well, I got chills. It's a really good movie.
Well, even thinking of that alongside, like this is an era where you've got like your Marlon Brandos and your Cary Grants and your Gregory Pecks. And then, I can't remember his name, Anthony something, who plays Norman Bates. He turns in this, like you said, this most nuanced, like he just takes his time with the character and you're like, oh my gosh, this is like the most slow burning evil I've ever seen.
Yeah. Really, really good. And like evil. Yeah. But also like just twisted and right. You know,
menacing.
Yeah. Not an overt
evil. No, so subtle.
Yeah.
So under the radar.
But I think Hitchcock in general is a great starting place. Mm-hmm. I would say a great runner up to Psycho would be The Birds.
Yeah.
Cause again, like the horror element of it, like it is just birds.
Yeah.
Does a really good job of making that really scary though.
Completely.
Yeah. I would say Birds is scarier than Psycho for me.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And honestly, I have a recommendation for a slight step up, still older movie. Mm-hmm. But if you watch Invasion of the Body Snatchers, there's a whole bunch of them, but
the 78 version.
Yeah. The 78's really good.
Oh,
but I prefer older than that.
The 50s one.
Yeah. Sweet. I prefer that one because I feel school.
Cool.
It feels scarier. To me, it feels scarier than the 70s, the early 2000 one with Nicole Kidman, all the other ones. If the older one feels scarier, I think they did it better. Mm. And so I would say that's probably the next step up for, I don't know, from there.
That's good. Yeah. Even my first being, I'll do a quick plug also for M. Night Shyamalan in general. I think he is a really good first horror, particularly with Signs and Sixth Sense. Definitely Sixth Sense is, I would say, like a little more intense than any of the ones I mentioned. But at the same time, like it still feels good. It ends really well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'll say about him. Like he does great happy endings.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He does.
Yeah. So I think if that's something you want, if you want to end up with a good vibe instead of leaving the theater or your room like spooked, that's a really good direction.
Yeah. Love no, it. That's great, man. Psycho's an important movie.
It's
a very important movie to horror fans and like the entire genre. So that's great. And so Jer, I'm interested to hear what you.
Medium horror man.
Yes, medium horror man. For me, it was going into like cult classics, stuff that horror fans consider classic. Not that everyone considers a classic.
Okay,
but people like you are like, yeah, dude, if you're gonna get into horror, you know, if you want to go deep with it, this is where you should go. And for me, it was An American Werewolf in London.
Oh, heck yeah, baby.
Yeah. Came out in, I think, 1981, something.
Something like that.
Directed by John Landis. It won the first ever Academy Award for Best Makeup.
It's cool. The makeup is insane.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I actually met the makeup artist at Comic-Con.
Rick Baker.
That's cool.
Or not Rick Baker. He worked on the film, but anyway, a different
another guy. But no, dude, this movie rules like so much. It's because it, like, I was watching some interviews and reading some articles, and he was worried because he's like, it's too, it's not goofy, but it's a little too, like, there's too much levity for people to think it's like scary.
Right.
And it's way too violent and intense and horrific for, you know, casual viewers to want to enjoy it. Yeah. But you know, it took him a while, but he found the funding and obviously it won an Academy Award. But like, yeah, for me, it was going into cult classics and going into this subgenre. Cause it's a lot of things. It's got a little comedy. It's definitely really scary, but like, it's one of the best setups I've ever watched in a movie, where like it's these two American dudes backpacking in England. They land at this pub, and
just out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. Great acting, really funny writing. They have really funny one-liners that like legit made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, totally.
And the attack is really grim and freaky. And then the first half of the movie, like when he's in the hospital and he's having these really disturbing dreams. I think that's where a lot of classic imagery from, like, you'll see in memes or you'll see in like things like super cuts of classic horror movies, a lot from the dream sequences, like him with the yellow eyes and the big teeth.
Yeah.
It is so, so cool.
It is like, it is an interesting movie in
totally
it, like the way that it starts out is literally they get attacked pretty early in the movie.
Oh yeah, very much. It's like in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah. Mm. And so you've got like a lot of space between there and the climax where it's a lot of them dealing with it and kind of, like you said, having nightmares and whatnot. It's really interesting.
And the other cool thing about it is, it's a huge step for like body horror. Right?
Oh my gosh.
And, but it's not just like, obviously all the emphasis is put on the transformation that you see in detail of this main character turning into a werewolf, which is incredible.
And that's like one of the first times they did such a gruesome depiction of what it looks like to turn into a werewolf. Like his legs stretching and like his face is literally, it's crazy.
Your bones breaking, your like your hair, every part of your spine, you know, contorting. It's incredible. And
they wanted it to make, or they wanted to make it look painful. And I think
it's sickening and painful and amazing. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's like upsetting though. Like someone who wants, totally. Someone who's like, I like horror movies, you know, I want to see some classics. Absolutely go for it. I like that it kind of wears its 80s heart on its sleeve. Like you can tell it's a film made in the 80s. A lot of the dialogue is a little campy. And a lot of the performances are very of the time, but that to me just like enhanced it. It made it like, oh, this is so classic. This is great. But like going back to like the makeup, obviously the transformation scene is the, you know, that's why you're watching the movie. Yeah. However, when his dead friend keeps coming back to him and visiting him, it is, that's where it starts to get upsetting in a great way.
Yeah.
The flesh on his face and his throat are just flapping about as he's talking to his friend. And he's like, yeah, I'm dead. And now you need to kill yourself or else the curse will live on. You'll kill a bunch of people. And progressively he becomes more zombified and more dead and more disgusting as he keeps visiting him in these like dream sequences. And oh, it's so, so fun. And I love that they never take it too seriously.
Mm.
Like obviously the character is really struggling and it's very serious, but it's like, oh man, the one scene that like really stands out to me outside of like the transformation stuff and the dream sequences is he's literally a werewolf in like downtown London in like the tube. And there's a sequence when he's following a guy in a tube station, well lit, and he's just a businessman alone in an escalator. He's like tripping and you just see a werewolf slowly stalk on all fours up an escalator. And I'm like, that is such a bold choice and it is so well done. It's amazing. I can tell you, Jason's like giddy.
Because like, even with like the ending with the climax and everything, like downtown London.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Piccadilly Square or Leicester Square, wherever it is. But like it's a million people around, you know, that's kind of the charm of it. They're not like in a back town where there's no one for
because that's where the movie starts and you sort of expect it to just kind of stay that way, right?
Yeah. And you're downtown with bright lights and a million cops and immediate responses and, you know, people screaming, and it's basically going to a place with the movie that horror movies really didn't do, which makes it so compelling and fun. Really funny, really well written. Absolutely understand why it's a cult classic. It's definitely entered like a favorites list for me for horror movies. It's incredible.
Gosh, yeah, it's really cool. It's a fun movie. It's really cool. Big recommend on that one.
Go watch
it. And I think that, like you said, with movies being a little bit dated, both of you have said this, like there is a little bit of a degree of separation where maybe at the time, something is super horrifying yes. and upsetting. But, you know, as it ages a little bit, it becomes more charming and more approachable. Totally. I suppose.
Well,
whereas like, for example, with Frankenstein, it literally starts off with a man introducing the film and saying like, what you're about to see may even horrify you. Like it'll scare you. Mm. But you know, it's Frankenstein. It's like little kids watch that. Right.
Right.
But like at the time you would assume, and on the posters, it's being advertised as like the scariest thing anybody's ever seen.
Totally. You know? Well, you know, what's funny is when you were talking about Psycho and it being like totally approachable, my mom saw it in the theater when she was like, I don't know, 12 or 13. She had a panic attack in the theater, especially there's like the overhead shot in Psycho when he like stalks, you know, right into her. Yeah. She had a panic attack and she had to leave, and it's still to this day. She couldn't do it. But
the whole sequence in the house in Psycho was really amazing. Cool. I really like
that. But with American Werewolf, there are still some moments that alarmed me for sure.
Yeah.
Like him, you know, looking over at like the body of the guy who just transformed from a werewolf, and you're like, it's so off-putting.
Yeah.
An amazing movie. If you want to get deeper into horror and look at view some Not deep cuts, but some cult classics. Start with that. It's like, it's in my mind, I know there's like the Wolfman from the 20s or 30s, but like, it feels like a quintessential werewolf movie. You have to watch it if you want to watch like a classic werewolf film.
You know what? There's not a ton of good Wolfman movies.
Right.
There's not a lot of them. I mean, like you said, there's the Wolfman with Lon Chaney Jr., American Werewolf in London. I can think of Wolfen. What is it? Bad Moon. There's very few.
There's totally
the Benicio del Toro
Wolfman remake, which everyone hated that.
Was, you know, there's merit to it, I guess.
Sure.
Vibe alone, but not that.
That being said, in obviously where like people don't either do that genre of movie a lot, or people don't do it well. This is one where it's done very well.
Yeah, totally.
Go see it. Go watch it, please.
Yeah. There's a fun werewolf sequence in Trick or Treat as well.
Oh, yeah.
Trick or Treat's a good one.
Jason, you are the expert. What do you got?
I watched a fun one. So I actually, you know, like I said, I've watched a lot recently, at least four, you know, since the beginning of the month. And pretty much every movie that I've watched so far has been new.
Cool. Sweet.
So I kind of had to decide which I would report on.
Mm-hmm.
There was one I watched called, Comedy of Terrors, which was pretty fun. Who's got it? Vincent Price was in it. Peter Lorre. Cool. Boris Karloff, he was old, but he was in it.
Cool. Sick.
Not Vincent Price's best performance, I'll say that, which is kind of a pity, but overall it's a good movie. Peter Lorre was amazing.
Peter Lorre is always awesome.
He's incredible.
He's a creep.
Great actor.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a bunch that I had seen, but ultimately I decided to talk about one that we had watched on October 1st, and it was called Godless: The Eastfield Exorcism.
Oh.
Now, this one's on Tubi, so it's free.
There you go.
For anybody who wants to watch it.
When did it come out?
Came out this year. Came out a couple months ago. It's brand new. Brand new. But yeah, Godless, the Eastfield Exorcism. And this one is actually really, really interesting because it doesn't go the way you'd expect it. With a title like that, you would expect just your typical exorcism.
Haunting of Emily Rose type of thing.
It is so different than what even I thought it would be. And I, like, you get a good picture from the description of the movie too.
Yeah.
This one was brutal, man. The last 30 minutes is so, so brutal, but not in like a, not like a gory, like kind of horrific, more like a,
pit in your stomach.
Gosh. Yeah. Like pit in your stomach. Like is awful kind of, like it was a good movie.
Yeah.
And that gee whiz, but it basically surrounds a woman named, Laura and her husband. Her husband is this hyper religious, he's part of like this religion that's kind of zealotous, I would suppose. And they live in this town of maybe 60 people. So pretty much everybody's part of this church.
When is it set? What's the time era?
It's like, I can't remember, because I think it's 80s maybe.
Oh,
The thing is, it's based on a true story. And that's one of the hardest parts about it, especially
knowing how it ended.
Knowing how it ends is the fact that it's a true story. Woof. And they take some liberties, which I'll probably into, but and some of the liberties I kind of had an issue with, but for the most part, it was pretty okay. But yeah, so Lara and her husband, Ron is super religious. She doesn't go to church. But she has kind of had her history of like mental health issues. She's on medication for schizophrenia. And she's seeing a psychiatrist. She had been to a psych ward before, but she's seeing the psychiatrist who's saying, you need to do these things, take your medication, come in for therapy, you know, your standard things. And her husband is saying, no, she doesn't need to do that anymore because she is not mentally ill. She's possessed by a demon. She's possessed by multiple demons. And her therapist, no, she just, her medication's going to work. Therapy's going to work. Just keep coming in. You know, it'll calm down.
Right.
He convinces her to stop taking her meds. He convinces her that she is actually possessed. And he kind of rallies this whole church organization around this idea, or more so he's rallied around this idea. And they get caught up in like this very unorthodox exorcism surrounding a guy who it's unorthodox because they didn't get permission from the church. Typically, for literally an exorcism,
unorthodox.
For an exorcism, you typically need like permission from
some higher authority in the
church. Some higher authority, a doctor, whatever. And they didn't get that, and so they go kind of behind the church's back. They get this unorthodox kind of lunatic guy to do this exorcism, and it is so rough.
The exorcism itself.
The second you get into that situation where, you know, they bind her to a chair and like they're going to do it, you realize there's no going back. Ooh. Like, it's like, listen, if she's got schizophrenia or she's got, you know, a demon, it's not going well no matter what.
Right.
Like, she's in a lose-lose situation.
She's housed.
She's in a lose-lose situation. Because if she is schizophrenic, then she's not going to be exercised of a demon because it's schizophrenia.
And they're just going to keep going and going and going until she's like dead or whatever.
And the movie does a really good job of setting that from the very beginning. From the very beginning, it tells you she is schizophrenic. It's it's not a demon.
Right.
At the very beginning of the movie, they establish that.
Right.
Like, this is a mental health issue. This is, she has problems with trauma from her past, from things that she had done that she's dealing with. And she's seeing, you know, things and she's hearing voices. And most of it is related to her trauma in the past. However, this is where some of the liberties come in that I didn't appreciate. She sometimes will see like a demon devil guy. And she'll talk in voices and be like, we are legion, we'll tear you apart. And what I didn't like about that is, one, it is a liberty they took, and two, it's like, if I was like her husband, it's like, it kind of sounds like a demon, right? Like, it kind of sounds like the devil.
He's justified. He's right? Sorry, she's telling me that she's possessed.
And so it feels like the filmmakers almost felt like they had to include that to make it scary or something.
That's dumb.
Whereas like they didn't need to do that.
Interesting.
Because the premise is already so disturbing.
It's already scary. Yeah. They didn't need to add a devil. They didn't need to add, you know, voice modulation or whatever.
Sure.
And so I didn't appreciate that liberty, especially because that's, and that's not part of her real story of the real life woman. Like everything else happened.
So is genre wise, is it kind of like psychological horror? Cause it's
more like true crime almost.
Right.
It's like, it's like comes at it in a true crime
possession. Kind of it's more like, here's something that happened to this poor woman.
But they do it. They try to mix in both. I think. And that's where the problem is. If they would have just leaned more into the realism of it, then I think it would have been a lot better. But they do kind of salvage that in the end. They have a beautiful scene, and it's also terribly sad. And it kind of pulls things together and kind of makes everything make a little bit more sense. So it is a little bit justified. And that ending is just devastating. And it's so sad.
Do you
want
to tell us just a tiny bit?
No.
I just want to know. All right, I'll go look
it up. It's a brand new movie.
Yeah. It's, the movie is
You're
like,
selling it, Jay.
it's truly really sad and truly really brutal. Actually, I said that in my Letterboxd review, and the director liked it.
Really?
he liked my review.
So is it,
that's cool.
Is it like American or is it?
It's Australian.
It's Australian.
So yeah, they're in the Australian countryside. 60 people in this town. How do you say that?
I feel like I've seen something. Remind me what it's called?
Godless.
The Eastfield Exorcism.
Okay, and it just came out. Is there anyone that we'd recognize actor-wise? No. It's kind of a indie. No.
Yeah, it first premiered, I think, at like the New Orleans Film Festival or okay. whatever.
Sweet.
But no, it's...
Wow.
And it really...
What did you rate it on Letterboxd?
I gave it 3.5 stars. Okay. So I liked it, but you know, there's some issues I had.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing about the ending.
Yes.
This is the very, very ending. Oh. It gives you, you know, some letters on screen saying, this thing isn't uncommon.
Oh, this type of situation.
This type of situation isn't uncommon. Oh, it's happened a lot. And then it gives you a list of a bunch of different names and when they died
because
of unorthodox exorcisms.
Whoa. Dude, that's grim.
Insane. Wow. And like that kind of drives home like, oh, this is
a problem.
Awful.
Yeah.
This is just this poor woman, especially all these poor people.
So
man.
Kind of in summation, why should like a veteran horror fan watch that in your opinion? Or should they not?
It is horrific. You know, it is horrific. It is brutal. Like I said, that last 30 minutes or so is just truly grueling. Sweet. To watch just from an emotional perspective. Mm. So I would say that's why.
Cool. Yeah. I'm curious, like people talk about this. I think horror can be a bigger umbrella where you can include, I mean, you were talking about psychological or even true crime. Like there are some elements of that can be within horror.
Yeah.
And I think there's some blurring between horror and thriller.
100%.
And like thriller movies still can definitely fall under horror. But I'm curious about the kind of distinction you would make there.
Yeah. So I've talked about this before, mm-hmm. not on mic. And it is a hard distinction to make in horror and thriller.
Right.
And
well, cause some are given both too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot or, and I don't know. It's really hard to say, and I've vocalized this better in the past, and I probably won't be able to vocalize it again without truly just thinking about it a mm-hmm. little bit more. But I think there is like a line between what is defined as something thrilling and something mm-hmm. horrific.
Horrific, right.
You know?
Totally. That's the first thing that comes to my mind is I think it's approachability. Mm-hmm. I think thrillers to me feel so much more approachable. Like I would, there's a lot of thrillers, even that are intense that I would totally watch with like my mom.
Interesting.
And I would not, there's a lot of horror films I would not watch with my mom. The other thing that comes to mind is, and you'll probably disagree with me on this because there's like supernatural thrillers, but typically horror deals in things that are more supernatural.
Right.
I know that there are like movies like Silence of the Lambs, which are horror films.
That was one of the exact things I was going to bring up.
Yeah.
Because it's not anything other than
same
reality.
Same
but
with
it's definitely horror.
What's the Ari Aster Midsommar?
Yeah,
there's nothing technically supernatural about it.
Right,
it's incredibly horrific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but as a rule, they typically go farther into the supernatural or the paranormal with horror, and thrillers are usually a little more grounded.
Well, I think something too is like it's. Kind of a vibe.
Sometimes. It is absolutely a vibe.
You know it when
how
you see
are
it.
They? Yeah, like how are they giving this to us? Like what are
it's
they
a vibe,
evoking?
It's an atmosphere.
It is.
Yeah, because I mean, Psycho is pretty thriller.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's still horror, of course, and there is an element again with the mom where you're like the unknown mm-hmm. aspect of it. I think really contributes to the horror, and I think that you could probably apply that to a lot of things like. In line with supernatural, like what we don't, like we can't explain it. We don't know what it is. Cause something I was thinking is like, cause there are a few thrillers that aren't horror probably. Right. Like something I was thinking like American Psycho. I would call that thriller. I wouldn't call it horror.
Right.
I would call it horror for kind of gratuitous violence reasons.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Whereas like I would take something like Seven, and Seven's a thriller.
Oh,
and like
sure.
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
It's funny that you're bringing up Fincher, because I was also thinking of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and that's a very horrific movie. It's very upsetting,
but it's a thriller.
But it's a thriller,
right?
Yeah.
So it's again,
it's one of those things you kind of just know,
right? Yeah.
Like, I don't know how, you don't know how to explain it really well, but you just kind of know.
Well, there's some instances too where it's like thriller is part. I feel more of that is like edge of your seat. Tension,
yeah,
like jump out at you stuff.
Where also, horror's, I mean, horror back is, of your seat sucking into it.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, horror is, yeah. Or is, yeah, closing your eyes, holding the sheets up, you know, covering with the pillow. And thriller is like engaging in a different way. Like,
yeah,
both bring your heart rate up, but it is you can't, the vibe is very different.
Yeah, how are you sitting in your seat when? Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, Silence of the Lambs is I think that's a great intermediate.
Yeah,
horror.
I agree.
I would say like because it gets tense and intense,
and it's very scary,
but it's also like it I don't like using the word transcends too much because I think it's overused, but it does transcend the genre as far as appreciation goes and as far as like critical acclaim. That one, best movie, best director, first best actor, best actress,
first horror film,
the Academy Awards
to do that,
like
huge. That is
and
huge.
it is like incredible as a movie alone. Like, not even kind of pigeonholing it into horror. That's what I mean by transcend.
Right.
Yeah.
So
and I do want to make a point here that I am not a fan of the term elevated horror. I don't like the people using that.
Describe that, because I don't know what it is.
A lot of people consider, like, you know, Hereditary, or, you know, a lot of these newer A24. Horror movies, A24 horror movies, they call them elevated horror. You know, as if they were like somehow better than other horror, as if they don't have merit like of their own. You know what I mean? And I think that's not only like dumb and offensive, but like I think it's offensive to filmmaking in general. Like, completely. To just assume that like something is inherently better because of the way it's... No.
Or to say that other horror movies are like base. Like, oh, that's schlocky or whatever. That's dumb.
No, they have merit with, you know, schlocky? Of their own. Yeah. Like, just they were made differently for a different reason.
Yeah.
And I think it's a dumb term. So.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I wasn't familiar with it as a beginner.
Now you know.
Now I know. Now I know, and now I hate it.
Honestly, the point of this episode is that there's a horror movie for you.
Yeah.
Whoever you are, there is a way in and a way to enjoy, even if you're not.
A way to enjoy spooky season.
I was the
only one who said it ironically.
As ambassadors for spooky season,
Okay. You know what? I wasn't really thinking.
It was an accident, but you said it for real.
Jaren started it. He put the seed in your mind.
Yeah,
look at this. Exactly. Okay. Eli doubted me. The word schlocky and schlocky movies is the first suggestion.
Yeah, no.
I didn't.
Of inferior quality, cheap, tacky, tasteless.
Nice.
Yeah, The Pest with John Leguizamo.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, not horrific, but you know, in a different way.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm really happy that we got to do this. I'm excited for you guys to watch more, and I actually want to know what's next. Like, are you planning on watching anything else? Is this kind of where it ends for you?
I made a list of like, what would fall into a great category here. I'm embarrassed to announce the next film that I haven't seen that I should have seen.
Don't be embarrassed. Not a big deal.
I haven't seen 28 Days Later.
Cool. Mm. That rocks. That's so fun.
That's Cillian Murphy. That's, you know, that is like quintessential zombie movie.
They started zombies that could run.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
that's where I want to go.
Enjoy
next.
That one. Enjoy Cillian Murphy's penis. It's like the first thing you see.
Oh, I'm way ahead of you.
Why do you think it's on my list?
I would also recommend 28 Weeks Later.
Yeah.
Not as good, but actually really scary and pretty fun.
Sweet. So.
Speaking of zombies that run, what do you guys think of World War Z?
I actually really like
it. I like
it. I like it a lot.
It's a pretty fun take.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you were going to be mean about it. I think it's a great film.
It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I really enjoy it.
Speaking of horror versus thriller, you know what I thought? Watching I Am Legend, it feels more thriller than horror,
totally.
Even though it's like,
it even has zombie
post-apocalyptic. Yeah.
It does. Well, because I think the action element
takes it to it's that. A vibe.
Yeah.
I will say, I think it's still scary. Like, I mean, it is.
When I first saw him going in like the building and shining the flashlight on the group,
trying to find his
really
doggy.
Scary.
When I first saw it, it did scare me a little bit.
Totally.
And so I would call it horror still. And also, Vampires.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Mm, right. Yeah.
They're not zombies. I mean, in the original Omega Man, they're vampires who can like talk. In the with Charlton Heston, the original Omega Man, they like talked to him. They're like, "You gonna come down today?" And he's like, "No."
Yeah. No, I love that one. So actually, great. I love all of the iterations of that movie.
Yeah.
Whether it's Omega Man or Last Man on Earth, freaking I Am Legend. I love all of them. They're so good.
Totally.
Every single one of them. Fun. And they're all so different. Like you said, Omega Man's the only one where they like talk and like, "Hey, bro, just give up." You know?
Yeah. They're so like trying funny. To get in his head. I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Sweet. Oh, man.
That's fun.
Well, actually, that's not true. Last Man on Earth, they kind of talk.
Do they?
Yeah. Morgan. And he's like pounding on the windows. Yeah. He says his name, but.
Morgan.
And in the book, I think that they say talk. Some things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, go find a horror movie. Tell us what you watch. Tell us if you watch any of the ones we recommended. Tell us if you watch Godless, you brave soul.
Yeah. It's interesting. Heck yeah. You know?
Totally.
And actually my wife, there were some things that were very upsetting to her. Oh, I bet. But like on a personal level.
I bet. I get it. Yeah.
Cause she's schizophrenic.
Yeah.
She's not. Sorry to anyone who
keep
is
it in.
If you're schizophrenic listening, take your meds.
Yeah.
Go
yeah.
see a psychiatrist.
Totally. Yeah. Don't get exercised.
Right, sure.
Unless you're possessed.
Yeah, pick your partner. Pick your partner well.
Yeah.
Totally.
And
avoid a zealot who would deny you the proper medical care.
Yeah. I think that goes without saying.
I guess I don't know how often this if you think you're possessed, reach out to your local chapter
clergy.
Whatever you are.
Get that sorted.
You know what's a fun?
I don't know how that works.
Have you seen The Possession?
Yeah.
Anybody? Yeah.
Possession or The Possession? The one.
Sorry,
with...
not sorry. Possession. The one from 2011. I think it was.
Oh, okay.
With Modest Yahoo.
Oh, it's like the Jewish.
yeah. With the Dybbuk box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
That one's fun, and so it's like kind of Jewish, like possession.
Right. Huh.
So a little different. Not Catholics this time.
Yeah.
So.
That's an interesting point. Well, I would love to get some more takes on, like some other religious. Horror.
I'm sure there are more
for
Muslim
sure.
Muslim horror, Jewish horror.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think there's some Indian or Hindu. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. No, there is actually.
There is for sure.
Their pantheon is really scary.
Speaking of possession though, like movies.
Yeah.
This is new, so I can mention it, but like Talk to Me is a phenomenal possession movie.
Cool. I'm
like,
so scared. I've been wanting
recommend.
To watch it, but
right.
I'm
Bro,
genuinely terrified. People have told me.
It's scary.
My coworkers told me it's really scary.
It's scary. So yeah, that one's new.
Sorry. Speaking of possession, speaking of obsession.
Yeah.
Obsessed. Idris Elba.
Oh.
That's a thriller.
Is that Beyonce?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Idris Elba, the new Cyberpunk 2077.
Phantom Liberty
character.
There you go.
180.
There you go.
Thanks for joining us.
I think Beyonce does pretty good in that.
Yeah.
As far as it goes.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
No.
Yeah. It's.
I don't know.
It's kind of fun.
So, real quick. Sorry. Yeah, we'll get one more question. Is there like a musician or someone who's not an actor that you think did a really good job in a movie?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Because
Yes.
I won't say Beyonce.
Can I say the easy answer?
You're not allowed to say Dwayne Johnson John Cena.
No.
Or Jared Leto.
No, I will not.
You can say Jared Leto.
I'm not going to. Justin Timberlake, Social Network.
Oh, yeah, you're right, actually.
He's amazing as like a pompous a-hole.
You know, Justin Timberlake in Time.
Kid Cudi is an ex, and it's really good.
Oh, interesting.
He has
What's
a really funny
What's
scene.
What's his name?
I can't remember.
Oh, gosh, it's going to
Oh,
kill
you're
me.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, he's really funny in that one.
I feel like he has a very like formal sounding name.
They all do.
Yeah. Forget it.
I'm racking my brain. For,
do you have someone locked and loaded for us, Jay?
No, I mean, I have an unrelated thing, but like,
oh, yeah.
If we want
to
get
might,
into that.
I might bring it back to that if I think of someone.
Okay.
If I'm inspired.
But for now.
Yeah.
You can't do the same one as me.
Were you doing
bass.
I was doing
King
of the
Hill. Banjo.
Yeah.
I was doing
King of
the
Hill.
You were
doing
King of the
Hill. We're going to get... Yeah. You got to come up with your own thing.
I was kind of doing
I really had high hopes. I really thought maybe,
I was
this,
trying.
Was the, maybe this was the week we
no.
nailed the unrelated
Jason,
song.
Lead us
fell
into
apart.
It.
No, I think Gosh. I did okay. All right. So here's the thing. Scooby-Doo and the Gang, Mystery Inc.
You're bringing them back?
Yeah, wow. We're bringing them back. Okay. But this
Jason
time,
did this last time.
Bro, they're toast. They're not around. A mystery went wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're gone. They're dead. Oh. They're cooked.
Right, okay? Sure.
They got fired after their interior design job for doing such a terrible... Yeah.
No, one terrible of the adults job. Who was a bad guy just took it too far.
Yeah. He's
I'm not letting kids get in the way of this.
Yeah, I'm just going to kill him.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. He turned himself in. Luckily. But the world still needs Mystery Inc.
Okay.
Okay. You guys are willing to take up that mantle. You're starting your own Mystery Inc.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. You are obviously a part of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
You need to recruit the other members of Mystery Inc.
Oh
so
my gosh.
Think of the dynamics there. You've got your Scoobies, your Shaggies, Daphne, Velma, and Fred. You are one of those.
Right.
I'll let you decide that.
Okay.
Recruit the rest, and this rest? Is
that's
this is
a lot
through from where? Yeah, what am I pulling
culture?
From?
Oh,
from
I'm giving you
open ended
liberty, except you can't say Sherlock and
that's so
Batman.
Jason. Okay, cool.
You're gonna have to be a little creative. You're gonna have to use your brains for once in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm sorry. I'll give you a minute. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, if you need me to narrow it, I can.
Can you give me some training wheels?
I got
Jaren. Okay, for you.
Yeah.
They're not fictional. They're real life people. You can say actors.
That makes
that broadens it
so much.
What really?
Yes.
I took away fiction.
Oh, I can't do fiction.
That's what I said.
So you just have to use real people.
Use real people.
This is gonna be terrible.
Well, what role do you fill?
Oh, I'm Shag.
Yeah.
You're Shag Man?
No, yeah. I'm just getting loaded and stumbling into the monster.
Yeah.
Usually end up saving the day.
Yeah. I'm useful, but it takes me a minute. Yeah. You know what actually really came to mind? Because he's so good at tracking and he's so resourceful and smart, is Princess Bride.
Okay.
Carrie Elwes's character. I can't.
Carrie Elwes. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Sure. Oh, the Dread
Wesley.
Pirate Roberts. Wesley.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. He
fictional,
came,
but yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Just kidding. You can use anything. You can use anything.
He was so good at tracking.
Is he your Fred?
Yeah, he's
Is
my
he
Fred.
Your Scooby?
He's my leader.
Okay, cool.
Jason, I...
See, I'm the Velma in my...
Oh, that's...
In my five.
Wow.
Well, okay. Just because...
Amazing.
Also, like, pragmatic... Cool under pressure.
You look the most
kind of
like
useless
Fred.
A lot of the time.
Put an ascot on Eli. He's Fred.
Sure. I chose for my Fred, though. I chose Captain America because, like,
leadership.
Vanilla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Asexual.
Kind of an everyman.
Like, harmless. Like a Ken. Like, it's just, it's bald down there.
Yeah.
Like, it's just.
It's androgynous.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So he's the Fred, reliable.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he can bring his powers. Like it's just his personality
his
acting
capacity.
As a Fred,
well,
right?
You're kinda solving mysteries. You're solving crime.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Then my Scooby is gonna be. I could, off the cuff I couldn't think of.
That's okay. It does. You don't have to do everything.
My Scooby is gonna be Goddard from
Whoa,
Jimmy Neutron.
That's huge, dude.
Yeah, still a dog. A ton of utility.
Yeah.
Still has a personality. Definitely gets scared sometimes, you know?
Yeah, but he's so useful. Can I pick Crypto if we're just picking amazing dogs?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to counter Goddard with the dog that Dexter finds that can talk because he puts like the talking collar on him.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's no Goddard.
No, he's dumb as rocks, but that was like the bit of the episode.
Right. Okay. Yeah. My...
Who's your Daph?
Oh, my Daphne is... Isla Fisher's character from Confessions of a Shopaholic.
That is so great. Can
just a redhead who's fashionable.
Can I make mine Amy Adams from Leap Year?
Yeah, specifically from Leap Year.
Yeah. She's a little stuffy, but you know.
Yeah, she's a little uptight,
but she's resourceful.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm racking my brain for anything Daphne brings to the table.
No.
I'm coming up.
She's a body. She's a warm body.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're sure. Right. It's usually, Velma's usually the one who solves it, and then Shaggy and Scooby are the ones who trap it.
Right.
Typically.
Yeah. Mm. And my Shaggy is Seth Rogen.
I was going to say
just,
Seth Rogen.
You were?
Yeah, I was going to say Rogen.
Wow. Wait, yeah, no, Seth, can my Joe. Fred be right. Joe Rogan? And then Josh Groban, Seth Rogan.
Okay.
Joe Rogan model.
Oh, yeah. Some, yeah.
Man, this is a way better list than what you had going Rogan. Earlier.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Cool. By the way, Josh Groban is my Scooby. Yeah, I'm good. Wesley's still in there, though.
Yeah.
Man, that was rough, Jay.
Do
you have a crew?
You have one locked and loaded. So I don't, but I can come up with something off the cuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm Fred.
Sure.
Because, I'm a hunk. Right. I can do everything. I'm smart, strong.
Right, sure.
blonde.
Yes.
Let's see. Seth Rogen, I already said that. Yep. He's my Shaggy.
Yeah.
I've got the dog from Dexter's Laboratory who's in that single episode.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what he says.
No, yeah. I remember he's dumb.
Yeah. Let's see. My Daphne.
Yeah, Daphne.
I mean, if it's going to be a redhead, it's got to be Jessica Chastain in the Jurassic World.
That's Bryce Dallas.
Bryce Dallas.
Get out, man.
Get out.
You're so right, bro.
You don't belong. Like the classic.
Same
classic.
Same woman, dude.
The classic blunder.
Yeah. No, you're so right, though. You're so right. Actually, no. I'm taking it back. Ron Howard. Ron Howard is my Daphne.
Good. That's better. Actually, Ron Howard really has heavy Velma vibes.
Yeah.
Like just himself.
Yeah.
He might be right.
Yeah.
And then young Sheldon.
As.
Just young Sheldon, not normal adult Sheldon.
As your Velma?
Yeah, he's going to be my Velma.
Sick.
Yeah.
Man, that little actor. Hate him.
He's growing up.
He's a child.
I'm aware.
It's not his fault, honestly.
I'm allowed to
He's directed
children.
And written to be insufferable.
Oh, gosh. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. If you want to learn more... please follow us on social media, on Instagram.
And follow us on Letterboxd, too, since I mentioned that.
Dude, yeah, go find us on TikTok.
We should have an account.
I mean, on Letterboxd.
We should have an account on Letterboxd.
We should. That's a great idea.
Yeah. And just one of us rates a movie at a time. And like
nobody else agrees.
Yeah. Just wildly different.
Yeah.
Giving 5 stars to terrible movies just to piss off my co-hosts.
Yeah.
Please, follow us. Reach out. We're looking for fan mail. We're looking for reviews. So
yeah, that too.
Wherever you listen to this podcast, please leave a review.
We're looking for adoring fans. We're looking for adoration. We're looking for
someone to make the voice a pedestal. Away.
We're looking for idolization.
That's where the bar is right there.
Yeah,
can
exactly.
we just establish that? If you're middling, if you're like wishy-washy, we don't want you to leave.
Yeah.
Please.
Truly.
Yeah. Wait, don't waste our time. Don't waste yours.
Exactly.
If you want to send
all
us
the way in
any love letters,
feet,
you're all the way out.
Email us at everything.
If you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out.
We love you.
I feel like we already said that.
No, I didn't say the email. That's really? Long form, baby.
Yeah.
I want something.
Sure.
I'll take it wherever.
Yeah. Until I hear from another fan, I'm just going to keep shouting out Eli from Washington.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, wow. So true.
Hey again.
No, I feel like Darcy's here. Pretty good.
No, actually, Darcy is for real.
Yeah,
Darcy's a great fan.
Yeah.
Hi, Darcy.
Hi, Darcy.
Yeah. She's my cousin. And
Shouts out.
She's climbing up the ranks as favorite cousin.
You're losing your spot, Eli. Other Eli.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He's still great.
Thank Not you, cousin.
She might have come to FanX. I think she still lives out of state.
We're going to catch you.
I don't think that.
We'll catch you on the next episode. I love you guys.
She wouldn't have come.
She God could. Bless America.
That would be insane.
God bless wherever you live. I know we have German listeners. I love you.
Oh, I looked up the place that German listener is.
He's
from.
He's in a northeastern state.
No big city, for real.
Shout
really
out,
hard to pronounce. Like,
shout out Koblenz.
He or
the
she.
State name is huge.
Yeah, it's Vorken.
No. Stop.
Thanks for listening.
Love Hi, guten Tag to you. We'll prepare some German content for you down the road. Sure. I'm down. I'm good with that. Jaren keeps trying to sign off and I'm a letter.